Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled The Necessity or the Necessary Practice of Sanctification for an Effective Spiritual Life. I'm going to be reading from Exodus chapter 29, beginning at verse 19. Exodus chapter 29, verse 19. Take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on its head. Slaughter it, take some of its blood, and put it on the lobes of the right ears of Aaron and his sons, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Then sprinkle blood against the altar on all sides. Exodus chapter 29 is very interesting. In the particular version that I'm using, this chapter, the chapter heading is called the Consecration of Priests, and I'm using the New International Version. But I want to draw your attention to what is pictured here. And I love the concrete imagery of the Old Testament. And indeed, the Hebrews are or were in the Old Testament concrete thinkers. That is, they were immersed in the everyday, and so abstraction, little recognized in their world. And so what we have here is a very powerful picture of a process or an event that would mark for both Aaron and his sons, what their priesthood should mean. That is, the divine viewpoint of their priesthood. And also, for them, as individuals, what it should mean as well. And so, Aaron, we know, was the brother of Moses, and they also had a sister whose name was Miriam. And God used this, used Moses and Aaron in the ministry. And so this was Aaron's job. And he was to take his son, that is, from his lineage. They were the original members of the Aaronic priesthood. Later on, but not initial, I'm going to speak of the New Testament priesthood of believers, of those who comprise or compose the body of Christ. But here, in Exodus chapter 29, this event occurs with Aaron and his sons. And so in verse 20, we read that they were to slaughter this ram and take some of its blood and put it on the lobes of the right ears of Aaron and his sons, and on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. And so, in other words, what we have symbolized here is the entire person, or the entire individual, that is the blood placed on the lobe of the right ear, and the blood placed on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. We have a picture of sanctification. And the word sanctification means to be set aside unto God for service. Sanctification is never pictured in a benign or passive manner. Sanctification is dynamic. Sanctification is necessary. And so you and I, as believer priests or believing ones, we have a positional sanctification in Christ. And there's also a practical sanctification on our part as well. And so notice that placing the blood on the lobes of the right ears of Aaron and his sons typifies, that is, this blood-tipped ear typifies being set aside or apartness. And so, in other words, this typifies that one will hear the word of God with a view to obey. And so therefore the servant listens so that he can obey. He must know or learn instruction. That is, he must be taught of God what he needs to know in order to fulfill his duties as a servant. Now, this is not servitude enslavement. This is serving or servant. That is the servitude of a believer. And so, this is reminiscent of Deuteronomy 6:4, which is called the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And Shema is a very important term. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Dahad. Hear, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema means to hear with a view to obeying what is heard. Now there is an effective hearing. Effective in that what is heard is not fulfilled or done. But Shema is a very deep and rich term. And so, hear, O Israel. So it is a call to listen to the word of God and to, with the understanding that one will obey what is heard. In fact, the theme of the book of Deuteronomy, the last book of Pentateuch, is love and obedience. Love and obedience. In the biblical materials, love and obedience are one. They are one. They are a whole. So, if I love God, then I will obey God. That is, I will do what he has called me to do. There is nowhere in either the Old Testament or the New Testament wherein one is enjoined to love God without obeying God. Now, that may be an interpretation of the material, but it is not biblical. and their love and obedience are not mutually exclusive. They are a whole. They belong together. And this type of false theology, of fake theology, creates a religious posturing. It creates a religious persona. That is an individual who knows the right language. He can mimic the acceptable religious behavior. He can go about the religious certain religious activities, and the superficial observer will think, well, this individual is of faith. Wherein the reality is that his heart is far from God, because he does not, this person's heart is not sanctified, and he most certainly does not walk by faith. And so the blood-tipped ear is significant. Also, this blood-tipped ear points to Calvary. It points to an ear that is given over to God and understands that the blood of this ram, particularly for this event, looks forward to crucifixion that we read about in Psalm 22, and that we read about in Isaiah 53. And so, and in Psalm 23, we have this great and wonderful psalm that we call, in which the writer celebrates the new reality. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is after the great psalm of suffering, Psalm 22, which begins, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then the psalmist in Psalm 22 says, but I'm a worm and no man. Caucus worm there is a worm that was used in the making of dye. And so we're talking about the very red, very crimson color. And so this worm would lay its egg, and the offspring, as it were, would use the body of the mother worm in order for the nourishment, and she would actually die in the process of nurturing her offspring. And so it is a very, very powerful picture. It's a very powerful picture. And so there is no bloodless religion in the Bible. The blood that we have pictured in Genesis 3 points to whom? It points to Christ. The Adam and his wife made themselves aprons of leaves, but God slew the animals, and they were and covered their nakedness. And so in Genesis 3, we have, without shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. See, what happens if an individual merely has a Bible school education, or if an individual merely has a seminary education? These things are good in themselves. But what is vital, what is necessary, is the understanding that the training must be understood in terms of cross, for real. And that the individual who undertakes this type of instruction, this type of learning, must have a sanctified ear. He will hear, she will hear, and follow the Spirit of the living God. God witnesses with our spirits, with our human spirits, that we indeed are the huios, the sons of the living God. Now, I spend a lot of time speaking about the blood-tipped ear because this blood-tipped ear means that as one intakes the Word of God, that the Word of God is believed by faith, that is, the intellectual comprehension of the Word. It's transformed into spiritual phenomena in our hearts through believing what God has said. It is this doctrine that enables us to walk by faith. We intake doctrine on an intellectual level, which in the Greek is called gnosis. It is spiritual phenomena. It is information. It is supernatural information. But it is changed by a believing heart into what Paul called epignosis. Epignosis is doctrine that is believed, and therefore doctrine that will be lived. Epignosis, once again, is doctrine that is lived and believed. Now, we may take in a lot of gnosis or knowledge, but we may not transform it in our spirits into epignosis. It is a very powerful process that the believing heart does. And the more we believe the Word of God, the more of the Word that we will take, and the greater our blessedness will be. And we will understand the necessity of the practice of sanctification. And we will give up the nonsense and the phony religious persona, because we realize, we understand, that's not real. There's nowhere in the scriptures where we're enjoined to fake it till you make it. I understand why there are those who say such a thing, but Jesus never told his disciples, fake it till you make it. That's cosmic stuff. And we have the reality of the living God. He never said to any of the prophets, take it till you make it. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never. God said, I will support you. God said, in Exodus 3:14, I am that I am, or I will be what I will be. So, the blood-tipped ear is vital. It is the blood-tipped ear. Through the blood-tipped ear, the Word of God is taken into the heart. Now notice, the blood was at the blood-tipped ear symbolizes the sanctification of the heart and the mind. In the Old Testament, the heart was the center of conscious being, and not the 1,500 grams of the semi-gelatinous mass under the cranium that we call the brain. And we have been taught in the West that it is the brain that mediates every reality within the heart, within the body. And we have forgotten to tell individuals, or we've neglected to tell them more realistically, that the heart itself has 40,000 neurons, and that the brain and the heart, it would seem, discuss or has a conversation between themselves about what is going on and what's happening. It's a very interesting process. And so the heart and the brain interact. And so the heart, that is our physical heart, is symbolic of this one's spiritual heart. And that is
or in the Old Testament, he was the nefesh, which involves the heart, the consciousness, or one's conscience, the will, emotions, etc. In the New Testament, of course, it is a psyche that bespeaks the immaterial part of the person. And so, for believers, God has called us to live lives that are spiritually set aside unto Him, that we might glorify Him. And notice also as we move on, Aaron was to put blood on the right thumb of his sons. And here we have the symbol of I will do. We have symbolized here, I will do the work of God. Very beautiful and very powerful. That because sanctified here is very practical. And then we have the practice of doing the work of God. They were priests, so they would be completely set aside to their duties as priests. So there is doing. They will do the work that God has called them to do. Nothing is passive in what we have pictured here. Nothing is passive. Now we may interpret, or we may want to interpret the what is given here in a passive manner, because that is where we want to be. Please read Paul's letter to Ephesians. And the letter to the Ephesians is about the body of Christ, whereas Paul's letter to the Colossians is about the phele, that is Christ, the head of the body. And let me tell you that in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, there are very few passive verbs. Very few passive verbs. Please read the language carefully and thoughtfully, and ask the Spirit of God for discernment when you read Paul's letter to the Ephesians, wherein he talks about the living God who can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Wonderful. Now, this blood on the thumb of the right hand, once again symbolizes that one will do the work of God. Has God touched you? Has God given you a work to do? And do you have a blood thumb on your right hand? Then, if God has called you to a certain ministry, do that ministry. Have peace in that ministry. Prosper where God has placed you in His body. We were all baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. He has placed us in the body where He wills. Notice, it is the body of Christ. Every part is vital. Every part interacts with the whole of the body. Nothing is insignificant or without use. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of the living Christ. And so, notice that the blood was also put on the big toes of their right feet. And here we have symbolized for us that the individual priest would do blood. Well, that he would walk in the ways of God. And so he will walk in the tracks, as it were, the wagon wheel tracks on the road. He will walk in the way of faith. he will walk by faith and not by sight. He will walk in a way that is well pleased to God. He will seek by his walk to live in such a powerful way that he will draw others to an appreciation of what it means to worship God, to honor God. He will not go places that would be questionable. He will walk in a way in which one can see that this word has taken hold to his entire being. That is, his heart is deeply and richly and wonderfully engaged in serving God. And there are substantial benefits in serving the living God. There are substantial health benefits in serving the living God. Real spirituality, is not divorced from the health within the body. It is, if one is healthy spiritually, in the Old Testament, there were wonderful physical health realities that come about with having peace, where God gives peace to the heart. And the Word of God tells us or speaks to us about our anxiety and speaks to us about our depression, about our anger, about our resentment and our bitterness. The Word of God teaches us not to have a subtle state of anger in our heart. The Word of God speaks to us about unforgiveness. So important. If I am to walk in the way of truth, if I am to walk with Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, in my walk, if I am to must be godly, if I am to follow Jesus, I must have a godly walk. If I am to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ, I must have a godly walk. I must walk the talk. That is so important to understand. You and I must walk the talk. It cannot be otherwise. And the more we practice on walking the talk, greater will be and the richer will be our spiritual lives. So this is a very powerful passage, one that we should meditate upon, not just for a few minutes, but one that should occupy our thinking for a prolonged time, so that we can take it within ourselves, so that we can be transformed by the richness of the scriptures and what God has to say to us, so we can grow significantly and wonderfully and powerfully in the truth. And please remember that as we seek to grow in Christ, that we have his resurrection power. His resurrection power will guide us into greater spiritual prosperity. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.